Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
This is the Jerry Callahan Show.
Big news, breaking news. There's civil unrest. There's riots on campuses from coast to coast. Everywhere they're camping out. They're fighting with cops. They're pushing back. And this is just breaking. There was a kid at, I think it's Emory College in Atlanta. And people did a little deep dive. He's one of the organizers, rabble rousers, and apparently he wished death on gay people and trans people and black people. He says he wants them all to die. And then people looked into it. It turns out Marjorie Taylor Greene is his friend, is his mentor. He called her his mentor. We got pictures, tweets of the two of them together. And now we know he's a violent white supremacist. And I'm just waiting. We're waiting to see what Marjorie Taylor Greene has to say about it. I wonder if CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times and the Boston Globe will cover this. It seems kind of big to me, but that isn't actually what happened. I made that up. You know what happened? The kid who is the leader of the Columbia movement on campus, leading it. We played you some of the video a couple days ago. He's the one with the mic, with the megaphone. He's the one telling people to join hands and chant and block Jewish kids from walking across campus. His name is Kamani James. He's a student at Columbia and a leader of the resistance. And he's on video, we'll get to that, saying Zionists should die. And that's not all. He wants Jews to die, a student at Columbia. And that's pretty bad. Well, he on social media told you who taught him, who inspired him. And it turns out it's none other than Ayanna Pressley. Yes, my congresswoman, the congresswoman representing the 7th District in Massachusetts. A person who is such a radical that she would not condemn rioters who burned the American flag and chanted death to America in New York 2 weeks ago. Well, you know why she didn't condemn them? Because she agrees with them. She supports them. A sitting member of Congress who doesn't have a problem with people burning our flag and wishing death to America. Well, nobody's. One person asked her about that. She ran away from Hillary Vaughn from Fox Business. Never asked again. As far as I can tell, the Boston Globe has never asked her, do you condemn those people? Because they know she doesn't. Well, it turns out the kid, the punk, leading the protest at Columbia. And by the way, how is he still a student at Columbia? I'm sorry. I misgendered him. Kamani James is trans. Surprise. In fact, when we played the original video, we couldn't tell whether it was a man or a woman. His face was covered, of course. He had the megaphone. His voice, it's kind of feminine. And he was telling people to march forward to intimidate Jewish kids who were trying to get across campus. This guy is the reason they shut down the campus. He's the reason they have no more classes at Columbia. He won. He got that coward president, Sharik or Shadid, whatever. He got her to cancel classes. Then people went back and took a little look at Kamani James' social media. Turns out he's motivated by Ayanna Pressley. Can we pop that up again? I haven't seen this quite make the rounds yet. I probably won't, because no one benefits from a complicit media quite like Ayanna Pressley. AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, they occasionally get criticism. They occasionally get put on the spot. Ayanna Pressley just skates. She never gets asked about her radical beliefs. She never gets asked why she hates this country. And she coasts the re-election because it's Massachusetts. She's never been asked about the illegal aliens taking over the rec center, kicking all the young black kids out of the rec center in Roxbury. Never been asked, as far as I can tell. Never been asked about the illegal alien who raped a 15-year-old disabled girl in Rockland. Never. The double standard is remarkable. Again, if this were Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert or Matt Gaetz and a guy wishing death upon Jews said, "This is my friend and mentor." If you're watching along, you're looking at the screen, they look like brother and sister, mother and son. They're big smiles. They're having a great time. And in this tweet, let me get to his exact words. "Zionists don't deserve to live," he writes on social media. He wants Zionists, that would be people who believe in Israel as a state. That'd be a lot of people. That'd be kids on campus at Columbia. He wants them to die. They don't deserve to live. And he believes that they're just like Nazis. Zionists are just like Nazis. Let me get to his exact words. He says Ayanna Pressley is his, quote, mentor and his friend. He said, this was from a couple of years ago, but hey, we asked this question yesterday. We'll ask it again. Where do these kids on campus, the kids waving Hezbollah flags, the kids spitting on their Jewish classmates, where do they get these ideas? Where do they get their inspiration? We've gotten our answers. They get it from people like Ayanna Pressley. They get it from professors like Muhammad Abu. He's a Columbia professor. He was hired in January. On October 11th, that would be 4 days after October 7th, he expressed his support for Hamas, who slaughtered 1,200 innocent people, including some Americans. He said that on October 11th. He was hired subsequently. He is a professor at an elite Ivy League university, and he's teaching these mush minds who are spitting on Jewish kids. Here's your answer. Ayanna Pressley, Muhammad Abu. Let me get her name. Carolyn Folan. We're going to get to Carolyn. She's a professor at Emory, and she's been arrested. But do we have any sound? Do you have the sound, Ironhead, from Kamani James? You might recognize the voice, because he's the one leading the charge on campus and ordering people to block Jewish kids from walking across campus. Let's listen a little bit of Ayanna Pressley's good friend, Kamani James.
"Always stand on business. Zionists, they don't deserve to live comfortably, let alone Zionists don't deserve to live. The same way we're very comfortable accepting that Nazis don't deserve to live, fascists don't deserve to live, racists don't deserve to live, Zionists, they shouldn't live in this world. If we're truly in it, and when I say in it, if we're truly living life..."
"Who have entered the camp?
Who have entered the camp?
We are going to create..."
him on campus. Again, we thought, I thought it was a woman when we showed this the other day, but it's not. It's Kamani James, a student at Columbia. Now, fewer than 5% of people who get in the, apply to Columbia get in. How does this kid get in? How is he a student at Columbia? That place has been exposed like nothing else. I mean, they've all been exposed. Harvard, it's a joke. Emory, whatever. They're all NYU. But Columbia lets in people like this ahead of straight-A students with you know, who ace the SATs because, not in spite of his beliefs, because of his beliefs. This is the kind of people the Ivy League is letting in. And the people teaching them agree with them. There's a reason they're not being dragged off campus or being expelled. A kid who's wishing death on his Jewish classmates is a student, as far as we can tell, in good standing. Now, you can be anti-Semitic. You can hate Jews. That's legal. That's protected. But you can't go to a private university if they have any kind of speech code, any kind of standard. You see that video, you hear him, you expel him. Why is that so hard? I can't imagine being a Jewish kid, and lots of them have gone on cable news and been on podcasts and talked about how they've been intimidated and scared and attacked. Imagine being a Jewish student. You're in a class, and this piece of garbage is sitting next to you. I want a guy who wants you dead. And he says it unapologetically. Zionists should die. They're just like Nazis. Yeah. Zionists, they're just like Nazis. It's remarkable. This thing is building. It's spreading like cancer from coast to coast. And it's going to get worse because obviously they pay no price. They don't get expelled. They don't get arrested. They don't get shamed. Ayanna Pressley will not be asked about this. I've already tweeted out to the globe. When are they going to ask her about this? A sitting congresswoman who's the mentor of a kid wishing death upon his Jewish classmates. And there'll be nothing, nothing. They won't, this won't get a mention on MSNBC or CNN or ABC. The Sunday shows, they won't talk about it. Again, if this were MTG or Matt Gaetz, this would be wall to wall. They would cut in to the Trump trial coverage right now. They would cut in and say, this is a disgrace. And they would chase him through the halls of Congress or her, demanding a response, demanding an answer. Do you consider this person a friend, Ayanna? Because he calls you his friend. He calls you his mentor. And you hear nothing but this for days, but she gets asked nothing. I just checked, not a word in the Boston Globe on their website, nothing. It is just amazing. The country is watching these campuses, these protests, these riots, and a woman or a congresswoman who inspired one of the leaders, and she won't even be asked about it. But it's getting worse. Because again, there's no consequences on the camp. A couple of quick notes from yesterday, if you haven't been paying attention, on the campus of George Washington University, one of the protesters held a sign that said "Final Solution." Final solution. That would be, you know, eliminate the Jews. On the campus of, let me see what campus had. Princeton University, they were waving Hezbollah flags. Hezbollah. Now, they're stupid. We know that. They go to Princeton. Only the dumbest kids go to Ivy League schools. But I just said, you know, let me just look up. Let me just Google Hezbollah as a reminder, because, you know, you sometimes forget. We know Hamas. Hezbollah to the north, they've been launching rockets, trying to kill as many Jews as they can. But Hezbollah, does that sound familiar? Well, in 1983, Hezbollah drove a couple of truck bombs into our Marine barracks in Lebanon. If you haven't, you know, studied up lately, they killed 241 U.S. servicemen, 220 Marines, 18 sailors, 3 soldiers, also a 58 French troops and 6 civilians. The bombing remains the largest single day loss of life for Marines since the Battle of Iwo Jima. That was Hezbollah. On the campus of Princeton University, they were waving the flag of Hezbollah yesterday. Ilhan Omar, another sitting congresswoman, was touring the campus of Columbia, you know, to hang with her fellow foot soldiers for the resistance. This is a woman who hates this country, who has said her loyalties lie with Somalia, not America. Her daughter was arrested last week. Her daughter's this little pampered little puke who goes to Barnard College. She broke the law. She got arrested. And Barnard College, to their credit, suspended her. She then said she was hungry and homeless, had nowhere to sleep and nothing to eat. Well, she was walking across the campus with mom. I think that's her mother, right? Or is it her aunt? I get so confused. I think it's her mother. So they walked across campus and got cheered. Ilhan Omar then tweets out, throw a tweet up there before we do the video. It just, this one made me laugh out loud. Again, these are anti-Semites who are spitting on their Jewish classmates, blocking them from getting to class. These are people who are supporting Hamas outwardly and openly. And a sitting congresswoman says, I had the honor of seeing the Columbia University anti-war encampment firsthand. Contrary to right-wing attacks, these students are joyfully protesting for peace and an end to the genocide in Gaza. Quote, I'm in awe of their bravery and courage. Okay, somebody help me out. How are they brave? How are they courageous? Where's the courage in just sitting in a tent with a mask on and screaming about a war 6,000 miles away? A war that most people in this country supported 6 months ago, but this is trendy now. It's kind of the in thing. Let's go out and hate the Jews. It's so despicable. At USC, University of Southern California, they canceled graduation, just canceled it because of this rabble that was vowing to protest. You know what that means? The terrorists won. The Hamas supporters won. Initially, they canceled the speech from the valedictorian because he's a virulent anti-Semite. And then when there's blowback for that, they just said no graduation. So if you're a senior at USC, that means you far left canceled your high school graduation for COVID, and now they're canceling your college graduation because of anti-Semitic scum who were threatening to protest. So they just said no graduation. What an ant. We got more. University of Washington in Seattle. Beautiful place. I've been there. They canceled their encampment, their protest. You want to know why? The protesters were too white. They didn't have enough people of color to join their ranks. So they said, no, because we aren't diverse enough, we're not going to protest. Man, these people are just it gets better. It gets better. Some campuses, here we go. Is this Princeton? Yes. There it is on the campus of Princeton University, formerly an elite school. All kinds of world leaders have gone here, presidents and senators. And you got this piece of trash with a guitar. No mask, by the way, on this person. What's wrong? And a Hezbollah flag. I mean, there are people, there are parents and there are widows still from what Hezbollah did to our Marines in 1983. And this piece of filth is out there celebrating a terrorist group that would throw this person off a roof in a heartbeat. You know, these crazy lefties, these trans people for Palestine, drag queens for Palestine. Do they know what Hamas and Hezbollah would do to you? Do you know how they would treat you? It's just, they're not just anti-Semitic. They're really stupid. And they're and they're Ivy League students. This is a real wake-up call. This is really revealing. We get to see the kind of people who are jumping on board this cool trend, man. I'm out there for Hamas, for Hezbollah in America. These are Biden voters, by the way. Hopefully it will be a big issue for the next 6 months. Trump did not listen to me, by the way. They had a rally at Columbia in support of Israel, in support of Jewish students. And I don't know how big a turnout there was, but Trump didn't show up. He should. Do it today, Donald, when you get out of court. Show up on campus. Walk across campus with some of the Jewish kids who aren't allowed to go to class because it's not safe. All right, let's get to my favorite story from the resistance, from the revolution. Now, some campuses are handling it better than others. Some cities are handling it better than others. We talked about Boston and the encampment that I walked through in downtown Boston. It was a public alleyway taken over by Emerson College students, little bratty theater kids. The cops moved in, and here's what happens. Someone gets unruly, someone pushes a cop, and they get arrested. While they're arresting the perpetrator, his comrades jump in and think they're just going to pull the cop off their friend. That's assault on a police officer. That's resisting arrest. That is a crime. That is what gets you arrested. I watch these videos every day, and it's amazing how entitled and protected these punks think they are. They think they can put their hands on a cop like it's just some tussle between, you know, their friends at the whatever, at, you know, out on the quad. And they get arrested, and they say, all of them, they go, "You can't do that. What are you doing?" And they get arrested, and they can't believe it. They're so used to doing whatever they want without consequences. They get arrested, and they're in shock. Well, they arrested the punks at Emerson, 108 of them. Four cops were injured, one seriously. Harvard had an even better solution. Harvard turned on the sprinklers. I don't often commend Harvard, but I have to today because they had their encampment two nights ago. Temperatures dropped to 36, and Harvard turned the sprinklers on, and these little snowflakes went running to their dorm rooms and their apartments. That was a great idea. They should do that on every campus. But here's how you handle it. Emory University, in just one of these elite schools, you know, whatever, $80,000 of little rich punks. And they had a protest. The cops told them, "This is illegal. You must disperse." And of course, they don't like to be told what to do. They didn't disperse, and a number of them got arrested. And then while they're getting arrested, again, they touch the cops and they get arrested. That's how it works. Well, one woman, her name is Carolyn Folan. She's a professor, as she will tell you, at Emory. She was told to leave. She didn't leave. She was told she'd be arrested. She didn't leave. She said, "Go ahead, arrest me." She got arrested, and she couldn't believe it. Why? Because as she explains to the cops, "I'm a professor." There's a lot of great video out there. This is my favorite. I posted it this morning. I've watched it four or five times, and I'm going to watch it four or five more. This is just great. The cops don't seem to care that Carolyn Folan is a professor at Emory. They zip tie her and take her away. Anyway, let's all watch and enjoy together. Go ahead, Ironhead. Get on the ground. She refuses. The cop does what they do. They're trained to do. They take her down. Another cop comes in to help. She won't let them handcuff her. That's resisting arrest, you moron. I am a professor. And they zip tie her and throw her in the wagon anyway. She just can't believe it. She's a professor of economics at Emory. Some of the courses, here's one of our courses, Finance Capitalism and Germany's Rise to Industrial Power, Relationship Banking, Liquidity, and Investment in the German Industrialization. She specializes in the German economy, and I'm sure she poisons young minds. She's out there, you know, to support the students, which is fine. That's not illegal. But when they tell you you have to leave, by the way, the university wanted the cops to do this. They said, disperse the crowd. So she's told to leave, doesn't leave. And then when she's told to get on the ground, she fights with the cop and she gets handcuffed and taken away. Even though I'm a professor. Good for this cop, by the way. Yeah, why don't you just let it play for the rest of the show?
You got it.
Good for this cop. Does his job anyway. Doesn't care that this privileged white woman, this Biden voter, thinks she's above the law. I've been told a lot lately that nobody's above the law. This woman thinks she's above the law. You can't arrest me. I'm a professor, but it's going to continue. I mean, maybe not at Emory, now that they see the cops mean business, but there's been nothing to stop Columbia, NYU. They're going to keep doing this across the country because they're loving it. They're enjoying it because Congress people, sitting congresswomen, men, women, support them. The media, of course, supports them. There'll be people today saying, why did they do this to this woman? Well, you just got to see why. She resisted arrest. She was told to leave, didn't leave. She was told to get on the ground so she could be arrested, and she fought the cop. That's not legal, stupid. That's not legal, even if you're a professor. All right, I could do this all day. I really could. You know what? They're going to continue. They're apparently planning to disrupt tomorrow's White House Correspondents' Dinner, you know, where all these deep state stooges, all these Biden handmaidens get together in Washington, and they have, you know, some alleged comedian. I'm not even sure who it is this year. It was, you know, Trevor Noah or Jimmy Kimmel. And the president shows up, unless it's Trump, because he would never show up at this because they all hate him. And they all, you know, they have Jim Acosta and George Stephanopoulos and Rachel Maddow, and they all sit around and slap each other on the back. They're vowing to disrupt that. And all I have to say is, free Palestine. I'm with you. Disrupt the hell out of it.
It's Colin Jost from Weekend Update this year.
Jesus. Oh, God. He's perfect. He's perfect. This little rich punk. That's Scarlett Johansson's husband. Just another limo liberal. Good. I hope he's up there bombing, and they storm the gates and disrupt the whole thing. And don't forget, it's almost May, and that means we're getting closer to August when Democrats all gather in Chicago for their convention. And unless Israel, you know, cancels the war and lets Hamas go, if Israel continues to kill Hamas terrorists, they're going to go absolutely insane in Chicago this summer, and it is going to be glorious. Cannot wait for that. But all right, we got much more to get to. We got to update the Trump trial. It all fell apart for the prosecution yesterday. This thing is such a joke. I'm going to enjoy watching the media continue to pretend it's a legit case, because that's what they're doing. Everybody knows it's a farce. Everybody knows the whole thing is a joke just designed by Trump haters and Joe Biden to put Trump in jail, where they're failing miserably so far. And we're going to give you our draft reaction. What an amazing event. Rich Eisen from NFL Network said the estimated crowd in Detroit for this draft last night was 275,000. Someone else said 150,000. I thought that was crazy. Rich Eisen, I heard him. 275,000 people. That's a city. That is insane. That's like 3 days of illegal aliens across the southern border. 275,000 showed up, and they're Lions fans. They didn't have the top pick. They didn't win the championship. They didn't win the Super Bowl. They show up. It was incredible. What a spectacle. We'll get to that and much more, but first.
Excuse me.
Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. It's literally one scoop a day. That's it. Tastes great. I like the raspberry lemonade flavor, and it has completely improved my life. This is nutrition the way nature intended. You know what I do? I replace my afternoon cup of coffee, which I really don't need, with Field of Greens. Get way more energy throughout the day, sleeping better throughout the night, healthier hair, healthier skin. It helps with digestion. My stomach feels better, feeling better and healthier overall. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy, and you can too. I promise you're going to love this product, but if for any reason you don't, they will give you 100% money back. I got you 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Jerry. That's promo code G-E-R-R-Y at fieldofgreens.com. fieldofgreens.com. All right, stop. Stop. All right, I've now watched the video, I don't know, 10, 12 times. It just gets greater, I tell you. I tweeted, I got a lot of people just loving this video, this crazy woman. This, by the way, this is what's wrong with the country. Offals. They're called offals. Affluent white female liberals. Offals are the ones destroying the country. Offals are the reason Joe Biden's even in the race. People like this, angry, bitter, middle-aged cat ladies. That's what she is, a professor who thinks she's above the law. All right, let's get to the Trump trial. There was a great moment. I mean, a wonderful moment. In New York yesterday, we told you about the rally. The construction workers and other blue-collar people showed up for Trump at 6:30 in the morning. He had a bigger crowd just showing up to court than Joe Biden has ever had for anything, rallies, events. Joe Biden couldn't draw this many people if you paid them, and they probably do. But they showed up in deep blue New York City for Trump and chanted Trump, 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 and we love you, Trump. It was amazing in New York. But Newsmax caught up with one of the construction workers, and this was just gold. Asked him about the resurgence of Republicans and the GOP in New York City. Trump thinks New York's in play, or New York State is in play. It's not. But it is telling that people like this, this union has 9,000 members, and the head of the union said it is 3-1 for Trump. A labor union, which used to be, 98% Democrat. It is 3-1 for Trump in this union right now. And this is one of the guys who's with Trump. Go ahead.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
Fuck you.
Oh, God, that is just perfect. That is a Newsmax reporter in Midtown on Thursday morning. Isn't this guy is right out of Central Casting. Big guy. He's got a kind of a scraggly goatee, hard hat, yellow vest. He's off to work. He's got his equipment in his hand. And Democrats used to just take these people for granted. They're going to vote for him because generally Democrats support unions. Well, he's right. It's turning. Things are changing. It's not going to be, 87% for Biden in New York City next time. It's not going to be for Trump, but it's going to be. There is a shift. Working class people, and they've talked to them. Like every cable news show had a blue collar guy on to talk about this, and they just say, illegal aliens. They're ruining our city. They're taking our jobs. The price of gas. The price of oil. The price of groceries. It's simple. That's the biggest problem Joe Biden has. Donald Trump's advantages are simple things felt every day by regular Americans, working class Americans. They see the price of groceries. They know that Joe Biden's responsible for the inflation. They see how much it costs to fill their tank. That's not some abstract thing about economic theory. That's real life. and it's hurting people. And they see why, how Democrat policies, open borders, sanctuary cities have affected their lives. And the goal is, if you're Joe Biden, is to replace this guy with an illegal alien who will be a rock solid Democrat Biden supporter for the rest of his life. That's the goal. And they know it. And it's hurting Joe Biden. It's not going to flip New York, but it's going to kill him in the battleground states. All right, before we go, I just want to point out that one of the legal analysts that I watched before the opening statements or before the witnesses started getting called in the Trump trial said, if you're the prosecution, you always start with your best stuff, you know, your best witnesses, your best evidence. They started with David Pecker. Okay, you're going to distract me. Ironhead's just going to watch the video of that awful professor getting hogtied for the rest of the show. God, you can do it. I'll look away. Well, the prosecution started with David Pecker, the former, the publisher of the National Enquirer, good friend of Donald Trump's. And they tried to make the case, they kept calling it a conspiracy, that Trump, that the National Enquirer, Pecker, protecting Trump from embarrassing stories like Stormy Daniels or Catherine McDougal, the Playboy model who was, you know, Trump's, you know, dalliance years ago. And I don't think that that blue collar guy you just showed, I don't think he has a problem with Trump messing around with Catherine McDougal. I don't think they look at that and say, oh, what an awful man. They don't care. I mean, they know they're all, these guys are all, you know, hounds. But anyway, they call Pecker and Pecker lays out everything. And it was 100% exoneration of Trump. The whole catch and kill scheme where they take a story that's embarrassing to someone they like or support and they don't run it. That's what they do all the time. He explained he did it for Trump because they were friends. He caught and killed the Stormy Daniels story or other embarrassing stories, including one story where a doorman at a hotel said Trump impregnated a woman and had an illegitimate child. They paid for the story, even though it wasn't true, because they knew if it got out, the New York Times and NBC would pretend it's real, would believe it, would blast it all over the place, even though it wasn't true. So they paid for stories, even if they're not true, if they embarrass someone on their side, someone they support. That is exactly what NBC does, what CNN does, what the New York Times does. If a story about, a laptop comes out and it's embarrassing to their guy, they catch and kill it. They pretend it's Russian disinformation. They ignore it. That's what NPR did with the laptop and with any other story that hurt Joe Biden. That's politics. That's the way it works. This is one outlet, the New York National Enquirer, which doesn't have that much influence, but Pecker was a friend of Trump's, so he helped him out. He also helped out, as he explained on the stand, Tiger Woods, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rahm Emanuel. That's the former chief of staff for Barack Obama and the mayor of Chicago. So he did that for his friends. So this clown, Matt Colangelo, this Biden stooge who's now leading the prosecution, laid out this whole case over 2 days, and it blew up in his face. Pecker did the same thing for Democrats. He did the same thing for Tiger Woods. How is that a conspiracy to affect an election? You know what it is? It's just politics, just the way it works. And even the people on this jury, I mean, one of them is fair and honest. They're going to laugh this out of court. What a joke. What a joke it was. What a joke it is. And the media doesn't care. They're there. They know to play along, to pretend it's real, to keep Trump stuck in New York while Biden campaigns. And they get to just mock Trump every day. They literally sit there and talk about Trump's mannerisms and him lifting a glass of water, where he was looking at certain times. Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow have been in the courtroom and they're obsessed with Trump's hair and his eyes and his walk, his gait. That's what they're covering. Not the fact that Joe Biden is attempting to imprison his opponent during a campaign. This is in insane times and an insane case that is, as far as I could tell, falling apart before our eyes, which is a good thing. All right, we got to get to the NFL draft. I know Ironhead has some really insightful analysis. And I'm going to tell you what's the next big thing to happen in Gaza, in the Middle East, that is not going to be, it's not going to help Joe Biden. It's going to be big. It's going to be bad. But first. Is it too late for a New Year's resolution? Well, let me tell you, it doesn't matter. 2024 is the year you will stop your hair from premature thinning, and you'll achieve your goal quickly and for years to come. The new Provia Hair Thinning Therapy from Chamonix is here, and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. The Provia secret is a powerful natural ingredient called Procapil that effectively targets the three main causes of premature hair thinning and loss. By supporting healthy scalp circulation, the delivery of nourishing nutrients, and healthy hair follicle anchoring to your scalp, Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. Effective for men and women of any age and safe for colored, treated, and styled hair, it's that easy. And new customers save over 50% plus shipping on Provia's introductory package at proviahair.com/Callahan. Every package includes a 60-day supply of Provia serum plus Provia super concentrate for faster and more noticeable results. You get Provia's Perfect Beard Treatment or Provia Eyelash Enhancing Serum as your exclusive free gift at checkout. Don't wait. Your full, thick hair starts today. Provia works or you get 100% of your money back. Order now and save an extra 10% at proviahair.com/Callahan. That's proviahair.com/Callahan. All right, before we get to the draft, I have time. Yes, I do. Just want to do this because I try to, you know, anticipate things as much as possible, see what's coming around the corner. Well, this was yesterday. I believe it was, yeah, this was just posted this morning in Israel Today. That's a publication, Israel Today. As we've mentioned before, Joe Biden is taking major steps to win Dearborn, Michigan, to placate the squad, the radical, America-hating, anti-Semitic caucus. That would be Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib, Jamal Bowman, these people who are just radical Marxists, and Joe Biden needs them, and Joe Biden needs to win Michigan. So he's everything he does, it doesn't matter if it's ignoring the hostages or undermining Netanyahu, everything he does is to placate them and hopefully win 16 delegates in Michigan. So a few weeks ago, he announced that we're going to build a pier in Gaza to deliver humanitarian aid to Hamas. You know, that's what we're doing to help Hamas. We're going to build a pier, which raises a couple of questions. Why don't they build their own pier? Why haven't they done that already? I know I've said this before, but Gaza should be Dubai. It should be Hong Kong. It's on the ocean. It's got a good climate. It gets billions just given to them, the Gazans from Europe and America. We just give them money, billions. They spend it on tunnels and weapons and terrorism instead of piers. So our response to that is, that's okay. We'll build you a pier so we can more easily deliver humanitarian aid to Hamas. Well, it was insane at the time. And here's why. This is from yesterday. We've started, by the way. The construction of the pier is being done by American soldiers in Gaza. So this is yesterday. Israel Defense Forces troops secured UN officials who came under mortar fire Wednesday when touring a pier being constructed by U.S. military personnel off the coast of Gaza. So IDF soldiers rushed the officials, the UN officials, to shelter after Palestinian terrorists launched projectiles at the installation. So U.S. soldiers and UN officials are in Gaza, off the coast, building a pier and Hamas is launching rockets at them. And no one was killed because the IDF stepped in and got them to safety. But they've just begun. This construction has just begun, and Hamas is already firing rockets. The pier is being constructed to give Gazans food and medicine, essentially stuff that Hamas steals. But so we build a pier, we deliver humanitarian aid, and they fire rockets at us. You know, I mentioned Lebanon in 83. We were there, you know, to keep the peace, and they blew up our base and killed 241 Marines. That's coming. Might not be 241, but American will die on this fool's errand, this ridiculous effort to win votes in Michigan and elsewhere to placate AOC. Building a pier in Gaza within range of Hamas missiles, rockets, gunfire. Americans will die, and that'll be 100% on Joe Biden. This idea, this plan is insane. All right, let's get to the draft, Ironhead. Do I need a break?
No, we're good.
All right, we're good. I have to say again, this is just, I was watching this. I turn it on. I see that crowd shot. And I say, is that like AI or something? Is that real? And I'm saying, how many people are there? Again, initially, I was going back and forth, ESPN and NFL Network. Initially, they estimated like 150,000. And then Rich Eisen says, 275,000? Where are they all going to bathroom? Where are they parking? And they're just standing. There's not even any seats. 275,000 people for a draft. And I tweeted out, you know, that people used to think baseball was our national pastime, was like our biggest sport. I know that was a long time ago. You could add up every World Series game. There aren't even that many people. If you took a 7-game series, added the whole thing up, more people showed up for the draft. Just a draft. Not a game. A draft. And it was wild. And the whole thing building up to it was wild. They had a bunch of Detroit legends, including current day Lions. They had Jared Goff, and Barry Sanders, and Megatron, Calvin Johnson, and they had Eminem. Eminem came out with Goodell, said they were going to have a rap battle. Goodell said, we're going to have a rap battle. Goodell sucks at this. He's not funny. And Eminem came out and waved and said a few words, and I kept waiting for him to, you know, the music could start and him play a song, but he didn't. He just stood there with his lion sweatshirt. Then the thing begins, and it goes exactly the way everyone thought it would, as I said it would, you know, 6 months ago. 6 quarterbacks off the board. The first 14 picks, all offense. 14 picks and not a defensive player. 6 quarterbacks go, including the first 3, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. went exactly as everyone expected. Caleb Williams, Jalen, the LSU kid. And then, of course, Drake May goes to the Patriots. 1, 2, 3. Here's a couple of thoughts. I was really disappointed that Caleb Williams didn't come on the dress. I kind of thought he was going to be something more flamboyant. He looked pretty traditional. I mean, the suit was a little wild.
He had clear nail polish on.
Did he?
Yeah.
And I didn't see any lipstick. And notably, a smoking hot girlfriend on his side. And he didn't have sunglasses. A lot of these guys had sunglasses. But, you know, it's this super talented guy. You can't take the chance that he'd go elsewhere. Of course they take him. He's like Patrick Mahomes. He's a freak. And the Patriots take Drake May, who we'll see. He's number 10, I think, which is Mac Jones's number. Is he going to be another Mac Jones? He's big. He's got a strong arm. He can make all the throws. We heard the analysis. But he doesn't have the experience of some of these guys. Here's what you're afraid of if you're the Patriots or a Patriots fan, is that 2 guys went before him. They can be great. Doesn't matter. 3 guys went after him. If they turn out to be studs and Drake May struggles, then Elliott Wolf and Gerard Mayo and Jonathan Kraft, then they come under the gun. They come under fire for passing, for missing. So if Michael Penix went to Atlanta, or Bo Nix turns out to be a star, you know, like Aaron Rodgers did at the end of the first round, or Dan Marino, then the people who passed on him look foolish. They have to hit on this. If Drake May is just average or below average, all their jobs are on the line. I mean, coaches, GMs, everybody. And he's a stud physically. Here's some video. You know, he can run. He's big. He's strong. He's obviously got a great arm. He's got great pedigree. Everyone in his family has been a professional athlete. He's amazing. And he looked great. He was smiling. He was happy. He was taking pictures with Patriots fans. It's an exciting pick. But people were saying he's going to sit for Jacoby Brissett. That's not happening. He's starting day one, week one. You don't sit the third pick in the draft. You don't sit a guy who's going to have a big contract and big expectations, and he's going to look good in preseason. He's starting day one, and they better hope, and they better help him. They better surround him with some talent and hope that he's better than Michael Penix or Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy, the three who went after him. But most of the analysts love him because he's so physically good and had a good career at North Carolina. And he just looks good, obviously. And if he can do it mentally, he has the physical ability. Question is, mentally, they all have physical ability. They're all studs. Quarterbacks now are all amazing. They're 8 years old. They're playing 7-on-7. They're going to camps and clinics and Manning camps. And they all have the ability. They're all great in college. They're all great at the combine. But are they smart enough, like Brady, like Manning, like Mahomes, to read defenses and study the film and figure it all out? Well, one guy had his doubts, right? Bill Belichick?
He had some critiques.
So I didn't hear, and I was going back and forth again, NFL Network and ESPN. They all loved him. They all loved him.
Well, he had nice things to say, too, but he made sure that it was like a sandwich. He's like, this was good, but yeah, you know. Like,
so is this Belichick's debut with McAfee?
I think so.
I haven't seen him, but he appears with McAfee for the draft. And on McAfee's show, it's not on TV, so they get to say what they want, including, you know, F-bombs. And Belichick is sitting there, and everybody was curious. What does he think of Drake May? And he knows none of this matters. All these video of him just firing it 60 yards on a string. He knows they can all do that. Mac Jones can do that. Well, he used to be able to. Here's Belichick on the Patriots' first round pick post Belichick. Go ahead.
He hasn't played very much. He really doesn't have a lot of experience, and he makes some big plays like this. This is an amazing play where he kind of throws going backwards, puts the ball right on the money.
Whoa.
And those are the highlight plays that you really like from May. You know, this is one where he just doesn't really finish the play. You know, he's got, you know, double coverage here on the slot receiver. He's got guys open inside and outside of the, and just throws it into double coverage. So, again, he's going to need some work in reading defenses, reading coverages.
He comes with reps.
He's quick to come off the receiver here. If he frees it right there, Foxy, just back a little bit.
Out of bay, Foxy.
Go Foxy. Go Fox. Like right here in the middle, like this.
Play.
Just a little bit right there. Like, that's as open as they're going to get in the NFL, but yep. I'm just telling you, like, they're not going to get open by like 8 yards in the NFL, so just you've got to deliver it in there. He's kind of quick to bail out of the pocket, and you know, he's going to have to hang in there a little bit longer, I think, and find those receivers. This is a really good throw here he makes. This is, you know, the in cut here. He really drives the ball. That's a nice play. This is a kid that can make all the throws. He just needs to be more consistent. Here's another one where he's, you know, should just stay in the pocket. He doesn't have any pressure. Just stay in the pocket and, you know, take his reads and scrambles out early. Then he throws the ball late and it almost gets it picked off. So transitioning from a college quarterback to a pro quarterback here is, you know, he just needs some time and experience. Here's
that
a late throw over here.
Right there. That is why. And I have my doubts about Belichick as an analyst because I wasn't sure. I mean, he's not, you know, funny or anything, but would he criticize? You know, would he criticize coaches? Would he criticize players? this is a great sign. And I realize he's, you know, he wants the Patriots to fail. Anybody does after they get fired. But that was great analysis. And I didn't see that on NFL Network or on ESPN, I got to say. Two things about that. One, he already watched all that film. Now, if you're Bill Belichick, they're paying you. If you just show up and say whatever, you know, state the obvious, you still get paid. You know, you still get all kinds of accolades because you're Belichick. But he clearly prepared. And I'm not sure all these guys do this, but he clearly did his homework. He watched this film. He knew what was coming. And he wasn't afraid to criticize Drake May. He wasn't afraid to look like, you know, oh, a bitter guy who's criticizing his old team. He was just telling you what he saw. And he's obviously the best at that, you know, understanding the game. That wasn't good. If you're a Patriots fan, that's a little concerning because those are the things he knows. You got to hang in the pocket. You got to read defenses. You got to know what you're looking at. That's what separates the okay QBs or the average QBs from the great ones. And this is a college game, and he's not quite sure what he's looking at. Not great.
In defense of Drake May, he was doing this with basically every pick. He would show the good and the bad, but I feel like he really hung on the bad for Drake May. It was a little extra stink on it.
Well, again, if it turns out, you know, J.J. McCarthy turns into the next whatever Drew Brees, and Drake May's the next Mac Jones, then everyone's done. Coaches, GMs, these guys are so important. He's got to be really, really good really soon, or the whole program just blows up on him. But that was great analysis. I got it. I look forward to watching Belichick continue to do that. And you know what? He shouldn't take number 10. He should take a different number. How about 12? Yeah. He take 12.
Yeah, avoid that. Avoid that number. That's going to the rafters in June, isn't it?
That's true. That is big day in June, Foxborough, Tom Brady day. And then that day, everyone will ask, are you thinking of coming back? And he'll tease them and say, yeah, you never know. And everyone on talk radio will say, oh, Brady's coming back. No, he's not. He's done. It's the Drake May era. And I'm looking forward. I love watching young QBs and see what they got. And I'm looking forward to watching Caleb Williams and everybody. But Michael Penix had like 50 starts. Bo Nix had 61 starts in college. He must have gone to grad school. And this kid only had 26. That's what Belichick's talking about. He doesn't have a lot of experience, unlike some of these other guys. But we'll see. It'll be fun. I love QBs. I love watching them play and seeing if they can do it. That will do it for today. Once again, we will leave you with the greatest video, the best video you're going to see this weekend, the awful, the affluent white female liberal professor getting hogtied and screaming, but I'm a professor. Oh, I love that. That's what I'm doing this weekend, Ironhead. I'll watch that over and over. And we'll be monitoring all the insanity from coast to coast because it's just getting started. But that will do it for today. Thanks, Ironhead. Thank you to everybody for listening. Another full week in the books, Ironhead. We're just
cruising.
We're getting it done. We're getting it done. But we will be back Monday morning. I'm Jerry Callahan. This is The Callahan Show. Have a great weekend.